As has been shared already this morning, our service is a little different today than our normal service. New or visiting, welcome to you, and we thank you for joining us. And to be honest, we might stretch you a little bit today. We might ask you to move out of your comfort zone a little bit today. Even if you're not new, you might be stretched a little bit today. One of the things that we have done over the last number of years in conjunction with our soccer camp is on Sunday nights to host a prayer and worship night to ready ourselves as a church to get ready for the week that is to come. And this year we thought we would take what we often do on the Sunday night and actually just move it to Sunday morning. And so that's what we're doing this morning. And so the whole intent of this morning is to get us ready as a church for the amazing things that God is going to do this week in our soccer camp. And part of that is to worship Him. Part of that is to call out on Him in prayer. And part of that is to prepare ourselves to be ready to be used by God, whether we're actually physically present serving at soccer camp, or whether we're at some other location and praying for what God is going to do in these kids' lives that we get to spend all week with. Our church is built on an assumption, and that is assumption is that we've been given something, actually someone. We've been given the good news of Jesus Christ, and we've experienced the power of His salvation. And our assumption is because of that, we actually are called to share that with our world that desperately needs the good news of Jesus. Along with that assumption is that you can't actually give something that you don't have. You can't give what you haven't received. And so this morning, as we get ready to enter this space of worship, this space of prayer, I want to make sure that you're ready for that. And so I've got three things to share as we go into the Lord's Supper. Because the Lord's Supper was given to us as a reminder of what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. And so this morning you might be here and you have never received Jesus. Here's the thing, you can't give Jesus away if you don't have Him. And so I want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus this morning. We're going to look at a verse in a few moments that basically says that in order to receive Jesus, you must believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead. And that's what we celebrate with the Lord's Supper. And then you must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of your life. And so if you've never taken that step to receive Jesus this morning, I want to give Jesus to you this morning. I want to give you the opportunity to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sin, and that if you ask Him for the forgiveness of your sins right now, and believe that He rose from the dead to demonstrate that He had the power to forgive those sins, that you can have Him as your Savior. And then you need to make the decision to make Him Lord of your life, meaning that He has full control of your life. That it is your desire to follow Him wherever He would lead you, and confess that with your mouth. There are others of you here this morning who are weighed down with some burdens. Here's the thing, I think it's pretty hard to share the grace of God with others if we are really low with the grace of God in our own lives. And so before you come, if that is describing you, before you come to take the Lord's Supper, I would encourage you to spend some time with some of our prayer team. They're going to be at the back of the auditorium. Everyone's going to be moving because everyone's going to come forward to get the Lord's Supper. But I would encourage you to unburden yourself, because that's part of being the body, is you can go to someone else and share your burden and they can pray for you. And in by doing that, I believe God's grace is going to flow into your life. And you will experience God's grace, and you will therefore be able to give that away this week. And lastly, there is one thing that really hinders us from worshiping God, from doing what God wants us to do with our lives, and that is sin. Oftentimes when we come to the Lord's table, we talk about examining ourselves. And part of that examination is to look at where we are in our relationship with God. And maybe right now, as you look and think back of even this morning or yesterday or last week, you realize that you have unconfessed sin in your heart, unconfessed sin in your mind, and in your life. And here's what unconfessed sin does. From Psalm 32, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through all my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. But then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." So maybe for some of you this morning, you just need to examine where you are at before God. And you need to confess God some of the sins that you haven't confessed, so that you are ready to come forward and take the Lord's Supper. You are ready to worship Him with your full heart this morning, not weighed down by any hindrance. And you are ready to pray. To pray on behalf of others and for yourself this morning. So with those instructions, prayer team, if you guys could be at the back, I'm going to ask our servers to come to the table to serve, and I'm going to read you from Matthew chapter 26, these verses. Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and what did he do? He gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." On the Lord's Supper night, Jesus gave something to the disciples, the cup and the bread. And we want to give that to you this morning. As was read from Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so this morning, we want to claim the promise that God saves. We've been doing a series on the promises of God over the last number of weeks, and this is one of the promises we want to proclaim today. That if you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, God will save you. That is the message we are going to proclaim this week to the kids. But here's the thing. Whenever it comes to the heart, it's a spiritual battle. When it comes to the heart and the beliefs of our heart, it is always a spiritual battle. And the only person that can change someone's heart is God. And so we already know going into this week that we are entering into a spiritual battle. And the Bible tells us that the only way we can enter spiritual battles is through prayer. That's our role when it comes to helping change a person's heart. We need to be praying. And so that's what we're going to do this morning, is we're going to pray. If you read a couple verses down from Romans chapter 10 to verse 14 and 15, it says this: "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent?" And that's what we're doing this week. We are sending the church, us, out into the community to speak to hundreds of kids about the love of God and Jesus. But we need prayer. We need a lot of prayer. And this is where it may get a little uncomfortable for you this morning. I'm going to ask us to pray. You came in and you sat down and you probably had to move a little card like this or sit down beside it. I want you to grab it. This is a prayer card for the week. It's up on the screen as well. There's four things there that we are asking for prayer. The first one is to pray for kids to take their next steps in faith, to open their hearts to Jesus. The second one is to pray for all the volunteers that are working at camp. The third one is to pray for safety for everyone involved. And the fourth one is to pray for spiritual conversations, especially with the adults, the parents, whoever comes in contact with our volunteers. We need to be praying about this. This morning, I got here, like I always do, a few hours before the service, just trying to prepare myself for this morning. And I couldn't believe it. I was so tired. Like, I physically, mentally couldn't concentrate. I'm going, okay, God, how am I going to get up and speak this morning? So I tried what we all do. I drank some coffee. Didn't help. Like, an hour later, I'm still going, God, I can't even concentrate on what I'm supposed to be saying this morning. And then at that moment, I just started praying. I go, okay, God, we are entering as a church into a spiritual battle week. And so I just need to be praying. And about 5 minutes after I stopped praying, clarity just came to my mind. Tiredness left, gone. Spiritual battle is not just about those moments when someone comes to us and we need to talk about Jesus, but there's also moments where we're going to serve and we are just physically tired and can't seem to do it. That's also part of spiritual battle. So we need prayer this week, and we need to start it this morning. And so this is what I'm going to ask you to do. For some of you, for those of you who are comfortable to do this, I would love for you to take this list and turn to someone beside you or another person in groups of two or three and pray out loud for this list. We want every group to pray for the kids, that they would open their hearts to Jesus this week. For some of you, maybe you want to get up and move because that's part of how you pray. And so I've cleared a space by the cross, and maybe you want to come over and just kneel before the cross. There's pillows there, and just pray. Others of you, you're looking and you see, you know what? I actually feel I need to go pray with that person, and they're halfway across the auditorium. I encourage you to get up, walk over there, and just pray in the aisle together as a group. And if either of those options just freak you totally out, I would just encourage you to pray on your own. But maybe push yourself. Pray out loud. Not just in your head, not just in your heart, but pray out loud. The worship team is going to pray together. And after a while of praying, one of them will lead us in a congregational prayer. But if you still have more to pray, you just keep praying. Don't worry about it. Even when they go into the next song and you have more on your laid on your heart to pray, just keep praying. We will not stop prayer this morning. So I encourage you to stand, because it's always easier to move when you're standing. So please stand. Find someone to pray with, either beside you or across the room, and go and pray.
Almighty God, we thank you for your presence in this place as your people continue to pray to you, to call out to you. With one voice, we acknowledge, God, that you are the one who gives life. God, you are love. And it's because we have this life from you, and because you have first loved us, that we can turn around and love the world around us, turn outward and love this community. God, we thank you for the powerful message of Romans chapter 10. And we stand on the promise of verse 13, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God, we thank you for that truth. We thank you for that promise. And we pray, God, that this week, campers will call upon your name. It says in that passage, God, that your word is not far from us. It is close. It is in our mouths and in our hearts. Empower the coaches to speak your love, your truth, your word to the campers. And may your Holy Spirit change their hearts that they would call upon you and be saved this week. Dozens and dozens and dozens of campers, God, we beg. And God, we thank you that even here, even now, that there can be people who want to call upon your name for the first time today. And so, God, I ask that you would hear that voice, that heart calling upon your name even now, confessing to you, God, that they understand and realize that they have sinned and fallen short of your glory and your holiness. Yet as they reach out to you, God, they accept that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for all of our sin. God, as that person reaches out to you now, fill them with your Holy Spirit. As they confess with their mouths and believe in their hearts that you have been raised from the dead, Lord Jesus, and died for their sins, would your salvation just pour over this place and fill them now as they pray to you? We proclaim your greatness, God, in this place today. We ask for your powerful presence this week, God, at this camp, that you would be lifted high in the hearts and lives of children and their parents and in this community and all of us, God. We do all of this for you, for your praise, for your glory, so that in eternity we will see the campers from this week's soccer camp. We pray it in the powerful and strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
One other promise that I want to just remind us of this morning is this, that God hears. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says this, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And so prayer is really about knowing God's will, trusting in his grace, and joining God in his purposes. And that's what we've been doing this morning. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing this morning before we leave. When you came in and sat down, you may have noticed in the seat back pocket in front of you a piece of paper like this. I'm going to ask you to take a piece of paper so everyone has one. And on that piece of paper, I'm going to ask you to write one of three things. For some of you, you need to write down a truth about God or a promise found in Scripture that God gives us. For others of you, you need to write something down that you've been contending to God with. Some direction in your life, something that you have just been weighed down with, and you've been wrestling with God about it. And you just need to write it down and put it on the piece of paper. And for others of you here this morning, God is calling you to write down a name. Someone that he has been asking you to intercede on their behalf. And if none of those things jump to mind real quickly, then I would suggest writing down the name of a coach for this week's soccer camp, or maybe John, our children's director, who's going to get up and share the gospel with these kids. Or maybe it's your child who's attending camp, or your grandchild, that you're just going to commit to praying this week to intercede on their behalf. And when you finish writing on that, I'm going to pull something in the front here, and I've got some pins, and I want you to come forward and pin it on the board as an act of giving it over to God. A physical prayer, in essence. Because the promise is that God hears us. And I believe that. And I believe that when we offer our prayers to him, he will respond. So take some time, fill out the card, and when you're ready, come forward, pin it on the board. Do you really believe what you just sang? Do you really believe that God is mighty to save? That He can do it? That He will do that? I had a unique experience this week. I had something happen to me that I've never had happen to me before, and I don't know if you've ever had this, but I went somewhere this week intending to be part of just a casual worship gathering kind of thing, and when I got there, I realized, so I walked down these stairs, and you're supposed to go in this room and around this corner, and it was so packed I couldn't even get in the room, and I thought, okay, this is strange, and I was standing there, and I'm listening, and people are singing, but there's people with Kleenexes and all sorts of things, and about halfway through, I realized that this worship service that I thought I was coming to was actually a memorial service. And I didn't know the guy who had passed away, but he was a younger guy. He had passed away this week, but this is what I heard. His mom got up at one point to speak. And this young man had suffered with addictions, and he had found freedom. And she goes, I've been praying for my son for 20 years. 20 years before my prayer was answered. And we've been focusing on this next week and praying. But here's the reality. Some of the prayers that you guys are praying right now may not get answered this week. It might be 2 years, 5 years, 20 years. But that doesn't mean we stop praying. That just means we continue to pray because we know that God hears and we believe that. And we also believe that God will save those who call on His name. And so for those of you who have the good fortune and the privilege of being able to be physically present at soccer camp this week, my prayer for you is that you would take every moment and view it as serving God and look for every moment you can to share the love of Jesus with someone, whether it's a kid, a volunteer, or someone who's just walking by on the street. For those of you who can't come physically to be there, I ask that you uphold the entire week in prayer. Take that little card home with you, take it to work, put it up maybe on your dash, in your car if you've got long commutes, and just spend some time praying because God will save and He does hear us. So let's go, Southridge. Let's live out our vision of turning outward, living our purpose so that our community, our kids, can experience God this week.